Okay, so welcome to our case study call. And these are calls where you get to submit your own cases. And when I don't get cases submitted, then I can go and pull some from my files. So I appreciate when you are wanting to get your case. It could be your family member, yourself, or a client, and you want to get that be a submission during these, that you get them submitted to me a couple of days in advance so that I have time to download them and look through them and make sure that there's not anything missing so we can get in touch with you and let you know. So tonight's case was submitted by Michelle Anderson, and she actually submitted her own case, which is perfectly fine. It's a great way to get your own support as a part of this program. If you recall, we had three facets that I thought were important for you to be healthy and have a healthy practice is that you do self-care and that you do skills and then that you also know the business pieces. And we've been trying to provide you with all of those. So I'm realigning my screen to make sure that it has everything in it. This one a little bit bigger. Image of the whole screen. Perfect. All right, so Michelle submitted it, and the way that you submit a case is via this case study form. The case study form is on the site, and when you go to the, I'm going to make sure I know how to tell you so I can remind you how to do it. When you go and log into the INE site, and you log in to, oh, wow, I've gotten logged out. Okay, let me do that again, log myself in. When you log into the site, there should be a tab up at the top that's, I believe it's either support or resources. I always get those two confused. But let me go to the site, give you the scoop. Here. In the back end of the site, and it won't let me in the front end of the site. That's very strange. Give me a second. And Lynn, if you can just help me type in the chat and tell me which of the sections it's in. I can't remember if it's in the resources or the support. I'm just gonna leave it at that. So you log into the site, you go to either the resources or the support tab, and one of those is going to be case uploader. So Lynn says it should be resources. So on the resources tab, there should be a thing that says case uploader. You're going to pull up this form, and you're going to fill it in. Michelle gave us her name and email address a whole bit. And then chose the program that it's related to. Generally, you're going to just say NEPT. We have a choice of others in case we're doing case studies for other programs. This isn't the case study form. This is just the uploader form. So there's a difference between the uploader and the case study. Let me open her case study. Sorry, I thought I had the right form open. All right, let me open up the other one. I have to just go to my screen here. Sorry, I thought I was perfectly aligned here. And yeah, this is it. Okay. I'm going to change it to this particular window. Say share the window. Okay, so now, whoa, why does it say PAFT? That's weird, December 15th, 2015. Michelle, I'm going to open up your line. This seems a little odd and off, so I want to find out what's really going on here. Your line is open.
Yes. Okay. I had put PAFT on that originally just because I wasn't sure since I was submitting the adrenal test. I wasn't really sure when I did it, like which program I was supposed to choose for that. So now I know.
yeah, no problems. I just wanted to make sure that there wasn't another one that you intended to submit. So this is perfect. No worries. Okay. So basically, this form you'll have to fill out. You'll choose the program. I would recommend you just put any PT there. You have to give me permission to use this submitted case. So that if you want your name hidden, you're going to have to put in a fake name, and you're going to have to put, like, white out the names. If you're submitting for a client, please, please protect the personal identity of your client. Just white it out or blob it out or somehow, you know, put a blob of color over it, but cover up their names, because I won't be able to show them, and that takes away from the experience if you can't see them. So if they have identifying information on them, I can't show them. Okay? So this is Michelle. She's 50 years old. She's 5'7", 182, and she's a wellness coach and an energy practitioner, two children. So these are all the demographics that we ask people. And the important pieces we want to look at is, you know, what's their height-weight ratio? Do they have a few extra pounds? Are they underweight? Do they have a lot of extra pounds? Because that can be contributing to some of the issues as well. Whether they have children or not makes a difference. Their age makes a huge difference. So low back pain, severity 4 on the pain scale, but not constant. Stage 3 adrenal exhaustion, and then high thyroid antibodies. So those are three issues. Now, some of her ways of saying things, because she's a health coach, are going to be different from what your client might say. Your client might not say stage 3 adrenal exhaustion. They may just say chronically tired, fatigued, exhausted. And in terms of high thyroid antibodies, they may say that because they've been to the doctor that says that, but they may also have other thyroid complaints at this point. So this is her situation, and what I'd like to do, there's a lot of interventions that she's been doing. I first met Michelle when she joined the adrenal program, the CAFE program, last year, and she decided to upgrade into a VIP seat. And I got to speak to her, and then she, from there, decided to join our Energy Recharge Coaching Program for a year, and I got to do a private consultation with her. So, and then she worked with Lynn for a while, and then she decided to move into NEPT, so she did not continue with ERC, but we have a lot more history on her than I normally would when I do these. So she's had several things. Her back pain, when I first met her back in the spring of last year, was extremely severe. It seems like it's down. She said it was on 7 on a pain scale starting in May 2014. It was unrelenting. She was having no luck, no success with all kinds of interventions. And that's when we started to work together, or when she joined the program back in April. She's had the gynecological test. She's had everything done to see what that was. She thought it might be related to her uterine bleeding. That was happening all month. They couldn't figure out what was going on with her hormones. They did a partial uterine ablation, which is kind of like, you know, wiping out the lining to hopefully that would stop the back pain and stop the bleeding. I think it did stop the bleeding a little bit, but not so much the back pain. She started working with us back in April, May through the CAFE program. She worked with one of our private coaches. That's a program that you guys can become coaches for once you've gone through that module. We'll be doing a more in-depth adrenal module come in a couple of months. And once we get you through that and once you get certified, you will be able to be one of our coaches if that's something that you choose to do. And that's something that we'll approach you with once you got that going. Just to let you know. So she worked with one of our coaches, and then she joined the ERC program, participated in GRANDS, the digestion program, did leaky gut, and then finished that up about a week after the SHINE conference. So what has she done? She's done a lot, okay? She's done a lot. She's done the uterine ablation. She did the CAFE for the adrenal fatigue stage 3. She did the GRANDS program in September, October, leaky gut program in October, and plans to do the Candida parasite very soon. He did a iridology session with Artemis at SHINE. He took photos and then had a follow-up session. He talked about lymph congestion. So currently she's working with different types of practitioners. She's working, she's not working directly with me, just that was doing that during the ERC. She's got a naturopath that she sees every 6 weeks. She's been working with Artemis on decongesting the lymph. That would be interesting to know what you're doing there. I think he usually mostly uses essential oils and you know, some verbal imagery and things like that. And then I guess it's a gynecologist or some sort of MD who was not providing much care because she's frustrated with that. So other kinds of things. She's done an amazing job of cleaning up her diet. She's been following pretty much the recipes in the GRAND program. Cut out meat in October and now only one meal per day. I want to clarify that, Michelle. Are you saying you only eat one meal a day or you only have meat at one meal a day?
At that point, I eat meal once a day. Eat meat once a day. Like, I'm eating three meals a day.
But at that point, you were only eating once a day. Did you find that helped?
I was eating three times a day during the GRAND in the month of October, but I was not doing any meat at all. But now I'm doing meat one meal a day.
You are? Okay, so you're not eating one meal a day. You're just eating meat at one meal a day.
Yes, that's right.
That is an important question you want to ask your clients. Is that meat that you're eating all pastured organic meat?
Yes, it is.
Okay, and about how much do you eat?
Like a serving size, like the palm of my hand? I mean, maybe 4 ounces, 3-4 ounces?
Okay, yeah, so these are important questions to ask because if people are eating meat that contains hormones and antibiotic residues and all that, you want to be certain, especially when they have hormonal issues, that that's not a contributing factor. So dairy and gluten-free for about 4 years, cut out caffeine, chocolate, and chips. Those are hard ones. I know the chips were a hard one for you, wasn't it?
Yeah, and the chocolate.
And the chocolate. So been juicing organic vegetables, drink a pint and a half to a quart a day since last June, incorporating rebounding 4 days a week consistently this past month, also skin brushing and sauna a few times a week. So are you still doing those things? This was back in December when you picked it up, filled this out.
I'm doing the rebounding and the skin brushing. The skin brushing I do on days that I shower. I don't shower every day. The sauna, it sort of just depends on, I'm still having some of the bleeding stuff happening, so I don't sauna when I'm bleeding. What's that?
How often is the bleeding happening? It's not the whole month like it was before, right?
No. Well, I'm bleeding probably 12 to 14 days. It seems like the first half of my cycle. But it's weird because the bleeding used to be really heavy, and then after I had the ablation, the bleeding wasn't as heavy. But they only did a partial ablation, so they said that it wasn't going to take away all of my bleeding. But my periods are a lot lighter, but I'm still bleeding probably for 7 to 9 days more lightly. And then it's like I have this fluid discharge for probably another week after that.
And did they say what they found and why they were doing a uterine ablation?
The gynecologist surgeon that I went to, I was bleeding all month long. Like, I might have 3 or 4 days where I wasn't bleeding, and the bleeding was very heavy. And they thought that by doing the ablation that they could take away the bleeding. And so that is why I opted into that. I mean, she also said that I might be able to do that through hormone therapy. And I just didn't really want to go on the pill and do a bunch of allopathic hormone crap.
Right.
So they didn't give you any indication of what
they thought was wrong. They just figured this will help cure it, whatever.
They didn't know. And I mean, and I even took my adrenal stuff to them and showed them that. And the gal that I went to was an allopathic surgeon, and she sort of just poo-pooed all of that. And she said, if this doesn't correct it and you really think it's a hormone issue, then we'll send you to an endocrinologist. But she was very confident that she said the ablation would scar the uterine lining, and because of my age, she thought that by the time that repaired itself, that I would be postmenopausal.
Okay.
I mean, she said it would take probably 3 to 5 years to for my body to repair that and to be able to start having a period again. Well, and then when they actually did the ablation.
Yeah. She expected you to have no periods? Is that what she said?
Yes. She expected me, her intention was to do a full ablation that would stop my periods because the bleeding was so heavy and all month. And then when I went in for the surgery, she discovered that my uterus was heart-shaped, so they were only able to do the ablation on one side because of the shape of my uterus. So they actually did the ablation on the tissue side that looked the worst. And then when I post-op, she said, you know, she told me that's what happened and that I would most likely still have my period. But it should make the bleeding less, and I shouldn't be bleeding all month. I should get back to, like, a normal cycle, and it should be lighter than what it was before.
Okay. So it's probably not quite a normal cycle, but it's definitely lighter than it was before.
Exactly.
Okay. So just going to clinical mode here, when someone is presenting to you and they're talking about uterine bleeding, you want to make sure that they've ruled out that there isn't any kind of endometriosis or some sort of a fibroid or some sort of a something, you know, a tumor, a lesion. You want to rule out the bad stuff, and that's where getting them to a gynecologist to look to see. So in Michelle's case, she had already been there, but in the case of somebody presenting this way with you with crazy cycles and bleeding all month long, you want to make sure that you've got somebody else on your team working with you, that you're not just trying to take control and saying, I can help this person with herbs. You want to make sure that they've ruled out the pathology. Otherwise, you know, if you're wrong and there is something there that could have been intervened, then you certainly are going to feel bad, and they're going to feel bad, and you could be on the hook legally for not referring them appropriately. But on the other hand, not like that they're necessarily going to have an answer, like in Michelle's case. They didn't really have an answer, but at least you've done your job and you've documented it and you've told them that that's what they need to do, and that you will work with them and help them to support hormonal balance and adrenals and all the other pieces that go into this, but that you need them to also get a checkup by a qualified professional. Okay? So bleeding is one of those red flags, whether it's bleeding through the nose, bleeding through the vagina, bleeding through the colon, the gut, you've got to make sure that the bleeding gets checked. It's really very, very important. Michelle has a list of her supplements, and I'm going to show you her spreadsheet, so most of these should be in there. But she's taking a wide range of, you know, Bs and omegas and minerals and vitamin C and a few herbs and things. So she's really covering her bases as far as some of the things are concerned. There are... Okay, we'll look to see that on your chart. You know, she's staying off of allergens. She makes all of her own foods, toxic exposures. She's aware, not sure what she's been, of course, when you're traveling, but she does use very clean products at home. These are all really important things to talk to people about and ask people about, especially if it's something related to a hormonal imbalance, right? Because a lot of these toxins are endocrine disruptors. And you want to know if they're, you know, something that they're using in their hair, on their skin, around their house, is going to interfere with the proper functioning of their hormones. Labs we're going to look at. She had an MRI, so she's had a lot of checks, right? She's had an MRI, she's had gynecological exams, no tumors. Did find some disc degeneration, but nothing that the medical doctor thought was significant to be causing back pain. And you have done hands-on care, too, right? You've done massage, you've done chiropractic, you've done a number of different things to check out the back from a structural standpoint. Yeah. So when you're looking at somebody who's presenting with unrelenting back pain and the back pain doesn't seem to respond, you want to make sure you've checked that they've done all the physical structural things, as well as looking at gut and some things in the female reproductive system with all the ligaments. Like there's the uterosacral ligament, and if the uterus is being torqued or has some pressures or some problems with it, that ligament could be pulling on the sacrum, which could be causing pain. And in that case, a lot of times I'll look into people that do visceral manipulation to help with that. And sometimes they actually go internally, intravaginally, and they can get onto those ligaments and start to release some of the tension there. And given that she has a heart-shaped uterus, there could be some abnormal pulls on some of those ligaments. So you want to be really thinking of all the possibilities that could be happening. Artemis said he thought there was lymph congestion based on doing iridology. And I'm not an iridology professional, so I've not been trained in that. And I know that you can detect congestion in different parts of the body. I'm a big fan of using iridology not as a solo thing to look at, but you look at it in conjunction with the rest of your therapeutics. So getting rid of toxicity. So she's doing things to try to push that, the rebounding, the skin brushing, the saunas, et cetera. He recommended that she goes 100% vegetarian, which is impossible because access to organic foods is limited. I always think that during a healing phase, at least trying a vegetarian diet is going to be very, very useful just because of the acidic residues. So certainly it's worth a try. When you say you don't have access to organic foods, how do you get access to organic meat if you can't get access to organic vegetables?
Well, I'm just saying that in the area that I live in, like, we don't have organic food at our grocery store. So for me to get organic food, I have to travel somewhere to get it. And the closest is like 60 miles away for some limited organics. And then beyond that, it's like a three-hour drive for me. The organic raised meat that I eat is raised by local farmers that are raising their meat with that type of consciousness. So I can get access. That's how I get access to the meat. I don't buy that at the grocery store. So, to be able to eat organic vegetables on a weekly basis, like I have to travel like an hour away once a week to pick up stuff because it doesn't survive in the refrigerator without going bad, you know.
Meal, and this is something you always want to ask people, like, what is your typical breakfast, lunch, and dinner? And usually people have a somewhat typical, so let's just see what she's eating. Because a lot of times when we ask people, how well are you eating? Yeah, I'm avoiding this, I'm avoiding that. You really want to see what they're eating, if it's really balanced. And because Michelle knows so much, it probably is, but this is a question you would ask. So tell me, Michelle, what does a typical day of food look like for you?
Well, breakfast, I mean, I usually start off with like a quart of warm water with like salt water in it, you know, with like sea salt in it. And then, you know, usually with like a half hour, 40 minutes later, then I'll make myself a smoothie. And my smoothie is usually like nut-based, like almond milk or something of that sort. And then I'll add like maybe a fourth to a third of an avocado in there. I do like the chia seed, soak chia seed in the water to make kind of like that, I don't know what you actually call it, the gel. So I'll add a little bit of that in there too. And then I have a protein powder. I use either the Sun Warrior or the Designs for Health protein powder. That's my protein source. And then I'll add what I've gotten used to doing is when I go somewhere, I'll stock up on like organic greens, and then I will blend a bunch of that in my Vitamix, and then I will freeze them in ice cubes. So then I add those to my smoothie, and just to be able to have sort of the organic part of it and not be running out constantly. And sometimes I'll add berries to it and sometimes not. Just kind of depends on, I kind of muscle test myself on things. More recently I've been adding, I usually add like some chlorophyll in there, and I have like a green powder from Premier Research Labs that I add in. And then I have maca, like the Mighty Maca of Dr. Kubeka's. I add a scoop of that in. And then I add like a little bit of carob powder to that. So it makes sort of like a chocolate-flavored smoothie. So that's what I have for breakfast. I have more recently, like, gotten more of the adaptogenic herbs. So I sort of muscle test day by day, like, which ones to use in, like, an elixir or which ones to add to my smoothie. For lunch, I do a big salad, and that's usually where I have, like, my chicken or, you know, whatever meat that I'm going to add to that. That's usually the meal that I add it to. And then I love your ranch dressing. So I usually, that's the dressing that I use. And sometimes I'll add a little bit of nuts or seeds that I've soaked and dried to that. And, you know, add, you know, shredded carrot or sliced or chopped up tomatoes or cucumbers to that, depending on what I have on hand. And then for supper, sometimes I'll do like an elixir in the afternoon, or I might just usually in the afternoon between like lunch and supper, that's when I do my my green drink, like my juice drink. And sometimes I'll make that plain. I'll just have that plain, and I also juice that ahead of time and freeze it just because I can't get access to organic vegetables to juice on a daily or weekly basis. So
you
I get
a whole bunch and you juice them and then you
juice it, and then I actually put it in the freezer. And so I'll take that out the night before and allow that to thaw out on its own. And then in the afternoon I'll either drink that plain or I will add some of the adaptogens or something like that to make it more of an elixir. And then for supper, sometimes I do like a vegetable soup, or I have even done, I make my own bone broth. If I do a soup that's like chicken stock based or beef broth based, then I'll use that bone broth and make a soup from that. Or if I don't do that, sometimes I'll have like, I do like a sweet potato rutabaga type thing, and then I'll eat that with a salad. So that's kind of what I do for supper. Seems like it. Lunch is usually always a salad with meat and some vegetables added to it, and then supper is usually, you know, a lot of times I'm cooking for my husband if he's home, and my sons, and they don't eat clean, and they're used to eating, you know, the standard American diet. So what I do is I'll make something that I can have, and then I'll make additional dishes that they will like to, and then I eat what I can eat, and they eat the other things. Mm-hmm. So it's a way for me to cook for my family but still be able to eat how I need to eat.
Very good. Oh, it sounds like you really, really honed in on the diet. And I commend you for your ingenious ways of dealing with the lack of fresh produce on a regular basis, the juicing and the freezing.
Well, and I mean, I don't know really if the juicing and freezing it is probably not ideal, but unless I live somewhere else where I can get access to, you know, organic foods locally at the grocery store, that's been my solution.
Yeah, you know, it's great. I mean, it's not going to be, obviously, it's not going to be, and nothing's going to be as good as just pressing it and drinking it. So if you press it and you put it in a jar and stick it in the refrigerator for later, you're still going to get benefit. You just won't get as much benefit. And the freezing, if you're freezing it right away, you're probably going to get some decent amount of benefit that you'll lose when you defrost it. But it's still, all in all, you're still getting way more nutrition than if you didn't do the juicing at all, or that you didn't do blend those things up at all. A couple of suggestions. So now, you know, when I hear what people are eating, I mean, she's doing a great job. Most people that you're going to talk to are not going to be eating as well as Michelle, and you're going to be guiding them to eat closer to what she does. But I would say a couple of things that you can do to help to fortify your vegetable intake, since you don't get the fresh veggies all the time, is looking at places like Z Natural Foods that has dehydrated kale, broccoli, and broccoli sprout powders, and possibly some other things.
Okay.
And you can add that.
Yeah, and I was going to... Okay.
Chris in there, because cruciferous is so important for balancing the hormones and the estrogen metabolism.
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
I will look into that. You said that's znaturalfoods.com?
.com. Yep, znaturalfoods.
Okay.
I use them when I travel,
okay.
You know, if I'm going to be in a hotel for a few days and I don't bring my blender, I bring some of those powdered mixes and I just blend it up in a, with a little hand thing that Steph told me about, the little hand blender, but you're at home, so you can do it in your blender with your other stuff. And you can add it powders to your soups even, too, if you're making a soup.
Okay.
Add a couple of tablespoons of those, too, it just to fortify it without having to have the you know, the worry about not having the fresh vegetables. So those are a
okay.
couple of really good things. And the only other thing I would ask is, are you testing your blood sugar? Do you know if your blood sugars are maintaining, you know, steady throughout all
this? You know, I... did do the blood sugar, actually, I started the blood sugar program when you did it, and what I noticed is my blood sugar in the morning is usually between, like, 80 and 90. Like, I would say between 85 and 90 most days, or 95 or in that range, and... what I noticed was when I, the first few days that I started, it was like it was way higher. And I'm like, what the hell? Like, I didn't ever think that I had like a blood sugar issue. So I was kind of like, oh man, one more thing for me to work on. And, but what I found was as I did it consistently, I noticed like on the days that I don't get enough sleep the night before and I'm really tired, like that's when my blood sugar is like way higher than that, you know, that base range. Because I think when I first started it, I was kind of in maybe a few days where I wasn't getting sleep. Like I should have wasn't sleeping well because my back was bothering me or whatever. And so that's one of the things that I learned from that. And the other thing that I learned was, one day I was like, I'm going to have some salsa, and I didn't have any of my own, like, crackers made, so I chose to eat a few chips with that, and I mean, I rarely, rarely do that, but I was like, I'm going to check my blood sugar and just see what happens, because I knew that that wasn't going to be, like, a normal healthy food that I eat, and, like, that, like, boosted my blood sugar up to, like, 140. I was like, holy crap. Like, even though I didn't really feel any, like bloating or gas or anything like that, that, like, symptoms, like, seeing that on the blood sugar reading was like, wow. Like, I haven't had anything like that since. And I'm like, I'm not going to do it ever. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that really helped me to, and then it was like if I wasn't sure, like, whether something that I thought was healthy was truly healthy, it was a way for me to kind of test things and see, you know, if, you know, kind of confirm that, like, yeah, I was on the right track because that was staying in alignment, too, with where it should be. So, I mean, that's what I noticed from the blood sugar piece there. So
it's something that you bring up there, and it's something everybody needs to know. Some of you have been through the blood sugar balancing module in NEPC, and others of you haven't. But we see that a lot of people don't realize they have blood sugar problems. They may have weight that doesn't go away. They may be tired. They may have, you know, adrenal fatigue. They may have other things that are going on that they don't associate with the blood sugar. The only way to know is to test. And when you do test and you find things like that and you start to look for patterns, you're going to see things come out that show that, wow, if I got the blood sugar under control or if I sleep better, the blood sugar is better controlled. And it's not always going to be apparent in a symptom. For some people, it is apparent in a symptom as they start to notice, oh, yeah, when I eat that and it goes up a little bit, I'm a little bit off. And it may be just subtle enough that they didn't notice before. But whenever you're dealing with hormonal problems, you know, female hormonal problems, you always want to make sure you work on the digestion, the blood sugar, the adrenals, and the thyroid. So those are all really critical pieces to get under control. So I would just make sure that you're looking at that, and there are supplements that you can take to support that, and that's all in the It'll Be Gone program, and it'll be in the insulin resistance program when you get that. Okay? So those are the kind of things. It looks like she's generally sleeping well a few times. You know, she's not. She's generally drinking the water. She's, you know, not consuming caffeine anymore, you know, doing things like meditation and relaxation. So she's really got a lot of good habits. But I would really caution you to look at that blood sugar and see if that's something that you want to really get a little bit more consistent with, because you, as soon as your blood sugar starts to get up around 90, you start to increase the risk of vascular disease. Ideally, you want to target for your fasting blood sugar to be 75 to 85.
Okay.
So, and it'll all be step by step in that module.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. So the little things like that, that, you know, when we're working with someone, we want to avoid the desire for this, for that approach. And that's what, you know, okay, she's presenting with low back pain, and she's presenting, you know, she's got these periods that are kind of off, and what can we do for her for that? What can we give her for that? We all want that because we want to get people out of their discomfort. And, yeah, there's sometimes symptomatic things, but you really want to get to the root cause. And her doctor clearly helped her symptoms but didn't get to the root cause of, like, why is she having this issue? So we'll see if from the test that we have here if there's any other clues. And also I'm going to share with you how do we go through and look at these labs and figure out are there other tests we think would be helpful. So that's for history. Does anybody have any questions or comments at this point? Raise your hand with a two, and I'll go through it. Okay. So let's go to the next piece, which is going to be, I'm going to go through labs. I'm just going to pull up a simple lab right now and talk briefly about it. And that is the, she did through SpectraCell, she did an MTHFR, a genetic testing. Okay, and this is a real basic one. Those of you who have done 23andMe know that you get, you know, 750,000 SNPs instead of two, probably for half the price of what this costs. I don't know, but maybe you got it covered with your insurance or something. But this is basically MTHFR has to do with methylation. We talk a lot about that in our module on, you know, B12 module, the micronutrient module, and the B9 module, the folate module, because methylation is a key important pathway, and also we talk about it in the nutrigenomics. But MTHFR is methylene tetrahydrofolate reductase, and it's basically the step, a gene that codes for the step, the enzyme, that will methylate folate, which will put the methyl group on folate. When people have this mutation, it's important that they have lots of green leafy vegetables fresh, and that's, you know, kind of an issue for Michelle because she doesn't get them fresh all that often. Once you heat them or process them, you lose a lot of that folate, but also that if you need to, that you supplement, that you're really careful about it. I like to start with if people have a lesser problem with the MTHFR, just really load them up on lots of the green leafy vegetables, but sometimes we give a supplement. There's way more to the genetics than we can possibly talk about here because there's interactions between a lot of these different SNPs. These are called SNPs. They're basically alterations, mutations in a particular enzyme, or a particular gene that codes for an enzyme expression. And it just basically means that one of the nucleotides in the DNA is off. We'll go through lots more of that. If you're interested in knowing a lot more about that, there is already a module open to those of you who are in the mastery level of the program that go to the sidebar of your login. You'll see VLM programs, and when you get to the VLM, one of the programs you're going to see there is nutrigenomics, and that's a program in genetics that I put together for my consumers, my lay people. So you're welcome to look through that. But Michelle has, you know, she doesn't have a terrible pattern here. I rarely see people who are negative on both because I don't look at people's labs when they're perfectly healthy. I just look at people who are having issues. She's got, this one is the most important one, the C677T. When people don't have that enzyme functioning properly, they don't eliminate or convert the homocysteine into the thiamine. So there's some issues there with the buildup of homocysteine, which is toxic to nerves and to cardiovascular system. We go through a lot more detail on homocysteine in our blood chemistry module and also in the B12 and B9 modules of the micronutrients, which should be released there. I think it's the next module to be released next month. So she has just one what's called heterozygous. Negative means that her genes are perfectly fine. She didn't get any bum genes from any of her parents. Heterozygous means she got one abnormal gene from one parent and a normal gene from the other. If it said homozygous, it means she has two aberrant genes. So she's just got a slight reduction, maybe a 30% reduction in the activity of the MTHFR enzyme. So we'll keep that in mind as we go through some other things, but it's not a real significant player at the time, especially given her lifestyle, because she's very clean and non-toxic. A person that's very toxic, it might be much more of an issue. So we're going to look next at her. We'll just pull up her labs. I've got a thyroid lab, a CBC, and, I think I just have a thyroid and a CBC here. But what I want to do is show you. So this was done in beginning of January 2016, and they did her TSH, which is 2.07. Does anybody think that that one's a problem? Those of you who know your thyroid numbers, 2.07 is perfect. Her free T4, which is 0.6, which is very low. According to their range, it's 0.6 to 1.3. According to ideal range, it's about 0.98 to 1.3 or 1.2. So she's low on her free T4. So even though her TSH is fine, she's not making enough of the free T4, or she's overconverting it. But that's about all we have. So this is a super incomplete thyroid panel, which isn't very useful.
No, there was more pages to it.
This says page 1 of 1. Yeah, I hear you, but I don't see those pages.
Okay. I think they're with...
Maybe they're with the other... Oh, wait. It was back
there.
So here's what I'm going to show you right now. When you submit your labs, I can't analyze them very well if they're spread across 57 pages, which is what a lot of labs do. So I've given you a tool, and I'm going to show you how to use this tool. And so when you submit your cases, I want you to put the labs into this tool. There's two different tools you have. One is my spreadsheet, and one is the lab analysis software that you have. I recommend you use both because this is all about learning, right? This is a learning experience. And if you put it in both, you're going to see different aspects of the patterns that are emerging, and it's going to teach you a heck of a lot. So I'm going to show you both, and we're going to put Michelle's numbers into that. So what I'm going to do is open up her spreadsheet, which is here. Her spreadsheet. I thought I had done it. Let me find her spreadsheet. I'm going to hit pause on one of my recordings so that it that I can open up this thing a little wider. I thought I had pulled it down into a or I had. This one is not customer support. Yeah, Master Health Tracker. Here we go. All right. So I'm going to share window. Now, if you don't know how to find these tools, no worries. There is a recording of the very first orientation that Lynn and I did together this year, and once a month, it's usually towards the end of the month, we do an orientation, a site orientation. And I know some of you have been to multiples, and it's a great way to just really get more and more familiar with all the amazing resources we've put on the site for you. This is what we call the Master Health Tracker, and you can find this by going on the site and clicking under... Lynn will tell us where. I can't tell unless I'm looking at it. Where is it? Yeah, I can't get into my... So if you can get there, mine isn't letting me get in there. Visit site. There we go. Found it. All right. So the Master Health Tracker, and what I've done is I've just, over the years of being in practice, I have been just experimenting, let's say, with lots of different ways to keep track of all the different information that we're learning about people, to is if you just kind of do what I did originally, which is to scribble things on their forms that they fill out, then when they come back in, you're trying to go through their forms and figure out your scribble to figure out where you left off with them because you've seen 12 people in between. And when you're thinking about just seeing one person right now, you're going, oh, I'll never forget. I'll always remember. Baloney. You will forget. And so I tried to come up with different ways of keeping track of things so I could, at a glance, go back and figure out where people are when I go in with them. And what I came up with was this Master Help Tracker. Lots of different tabs in here. It's an Excel spreadsheet. This particular one is on a Google Doc. And it has different things that you want to keep track of. Now, you're not going to maybe use or desire to use all of the different forms I put in there, but I've put a lot of them in. If you come up with something that you want to track that we don't have in there, you can add that as a tab, and please do share it with us because I'm always open to improving the resources that we have. Sometimes there's specific tabs I'll add for a particular person. For example, one of my clients, very up in her late 80s, she had broken her shoulder, went into the hospital, came out of the hospital, and very shortly after that developed a cellulitis, an infection on her leg. And went in to see the doctor. She doesn't believe in doctors. She tried not to do what they wanted her to do. They wanted her to do all kinds of antibiotics. Long story short, she tried different things, and the thing is getting worse. So she had a culture. Finally, they did a culture. I've been telling her to have a culture done for a long time to see what kind of bacteria are in there, if there's bacteria in there. And so we did and came up with that there were three different bugs. All of them, when you look them up in the wonderful book, Herbal Antibiotics, that if you don't have, go buy, Herbal Antibiotics by B-U-H-N-E-R, Bruner, Stephen Bruner. Awesome book. So we looked up all the bugs that she has based on that book. Every single one of them said the primary cause of an infection from one of those bugs is, guess what? Being in the hospital. So she had what's called an iatrogenic infection of her leg. And we looked up each of those herbs, and I found a whole bunch of different things recommended. But I was like, well, we want to sort this out and get the stuff that's going to be best for all of these. We don't have to want her to take 22 different herbs for this. So I made a chart, and I put it in her master tracker. And it had the four columns. One had the name of the herbs, and then across the way, it had on the top, it had the name of each bug, and I put an X. And whichever ones had X's across all three, or at least two out of the three, then we considered in coming up with her protocol. So there's all kinds of ways that you can keep track of things. For another person, I created a spreadsheet that was just generally summarizing the findings from her organic acid test. So anything that you might want to keep track of, you can do it in the spreadsheet form, and it's really miraculous. I love it. The very first sheet in here is the goals and obstacles sheet. So I usually fill this in based on my conversation with the person and also based on any of the questionnaires that they filled in where they told me what they wanted. So for Michelle, we have the top challenges. You've got the high priority, medium priority, and low is balancing her hormones and neurotransmitters, healing leaky gut to address autoimmune thyroid issue. And then medium was reduce, eliminate, or back pain. And then low was lose weight and keep it off, like to lose 40 to 50 pounds, regain energy and vitality. So it's really a matter of, I really like to prioritize and have people prioritize for me what's important. Because I may think that one thing's the most important thing, and they get that problem resolved, but they're still irritated because they haven't gotten the other. I've had this happen. I had somebody who came in with some serious stuff going on, and I chose that the most important stuff to start with was her blood sugar because she was on metformin and she was told she had PCOS and her blood sugars were in the 130s, 140s. We focused on that. She had resistant weight. She lost, like, I don't know, she was down 50 pounds. She was off her medications for the blood sugar, and her blood sugars are maintaining in the 80s. And she's saying, this isn't working. Why isn't this program working? Why? Because she still had anxiety, which she actually didn't tell me was a high priority when we started. But because this other problem resolved, now we have this other issue. So it's really, I like to keep track of these things and be able to go back and say, look, but you told me that this was the most important thing, and we agreed that this is where we were going to start. And sometimes what they think is the most important thing is not a place where you can start because they have so many underlying. So Michelle filled this out, and Lynn and I actually filled some of this out from her form. This is where you can keep track of what are their current challenges, what are their goals and visions, you know, over the 5 years, 1 year, and 90 days. But then what's getting in the way? So we list the diet, the movement, the stress, the sleep, you know, schedule. There's a lot of stuff in here. Anything that we feel is a problem with it, or is contributing to their problem, you can put it in. And that way you can, at a glance, quickly look and remember what's going on with your client and also be able to help to, you know, create the pathway for the next step. This next one I keep track of, it looks like when Lynn was having her monthly meetings with Michelle before she moved and jumped ship from ERC and got into NEPT. So Lynn just kept track of some notes that she took, and if she recorded the call, she put the recording link in there so Michelle could go back and listen to it. And I do the same thing. I put the recording link. I'm not as great with the notes there. I put them in other places, but it's a great way to go back and say, before you visit with somebody, you say, what did we do on the last couple of cycles? What did she agree to? Were there any comments that she made? This is one that I love to keep track of, and I filled this in with Michelle way back last spring. Is I had a 90-minute consultation with her, which actually turned out to be 2.5 hours, but we had a good time. We got a lot done. But I basically put in across the top the various symptoms that she had, symptoms and signs, and then I kind of went through and asked her a history. So this particular one started in there's the history of it. So I started it back in March 2015. So I put a little history of each of these things that she was working on. And again, it helps you as you're taking notes. If you're in consultation with somebody, you can keep track of all their different symptoms all in one page and be able to go back and say to them, well, how is your menstrual bleeding? Let's rate that. And if you wanted to, every time you met with them, you could put a date, and then you could say the notes about, like, it's a 5 out of 10 or it's a 4 out of 10 and it's getting better. So that's another thing. And I'm just going through this just because it helps for you to do and see how we can use the information that Michelle's providing. The other thing I like to do is those assessments. And this one she didn't do all of them, or they just didn't get all put in probably. But the newer version of this.
I don't think they got put in.
Yeah, the newer version of the spreadsheet will actually have these change color. So 6 would be green because it's below 10, 14 would be blue because it's between 10 and 20, and most of her symptoms are pretty light on this area, the body systems, but there are some others that could be done as well. Maybe it's just that one. Yeah, so here we go. So we had her adrenal score was a 19, her female hormone score was a 30, and these are all based on the various questionnaires that you have in the history-taking module. And we just keep track of it. So when we go back, the ideal would be to go back and have her complete another one. I like to have them do it every 3 months. That way you can look and see what's improved, what's not improved, anything gotten worse, and what do you need to do next. And then here's what these are. So I don't know if you keep this up to date or have kept this up to date or whether these are exactly what you're taking now. But she's got, you know, a variety of adrenal supplements and nutrients in here, and we basically just keep track of it in this nice little sheet because inevitably, right, somebody is taking something, they stop taking it, and then a year later they read about it or a doctor says, oh, why don't you take this, and they don't remember that they already took it and it caused them to get blinding headaches. So we keep track of all that, the date started, the date stopped, how much you're taking. So if you're not already keeping this up to date, Michelle, make sure you get this link from Lynn if you don't remember where it is, and keep it up to date on yourself, because
okay.
I would highly encourage each and every one of you to do this for yourself, is to take the master tracker, download it, and keep track of it for yourself so you're used to it, and then you can use it to track your clients. And you can share it on a Google Doc and have them be able to update it whenever. I found that a lot of my clients were using an Excel sheet and filling these out, but the problem... Let me just turn, there's somebody has their speaker on, so let me just turn it off. call in on the join me, it's a good idea to mute your mic. So this is a good it's a good chart. It's really great. The more you put in about it, the more you're going to remember. The more when they get new labs, you can go back and look at what they've been taking. So I highly encourage you to use this form. And Michelle, is this fairly up to date?
I would say not, just because I haven't been in there and updated it. Some of the stuff I'm still doing the biomatrix, like the pregnenolone, DHA, and licorice root, and the liquid vitamin E, and the premier research labs like the Max BND and the vitamin B6. I'm not doing like the Premier Research Labs activator. I mean, I do take like an HCL with my meal, but I do the liver bitter spray before, you know, and wait 15 minutes before I eat. Mm. I do an omega oil.
About this is if you change your supplement regime, you can go in here and you can just put it in the date stopped. You can leave it in the chart, but have it. The date stopped, and oftentimes I'll just like put a color on it. I'll go like this, and I'll just say, well, this is stopped, so I'm going to make it fill it with red, you know, or pink. So I know that I'm no longer taking this, or they're no longer taking it.
Okay.
Yeah. So the other thing you could do if you want to be more sophisticated is you can actually move it to a discontinued, a thing that's called discontinued. It looks like there was that you already
Yeah, and I think she did, Lynn did a lot of that.
Okay.
Got to be a little overwhelming.
but here's the thing, right? If you want to make sure you get better, and this is something to teach your clients.
Yeah, for sure.
If you want to get better, then it's going to be less overwhelming to keep track of it than if it's a random thing. Well, I think I took that for 3 months, and then I stopped it. Or, you know, like if you go back and do another test, and like with yours, your adrenal test didn't get better. It didn't move in the right direction in some ways. Then you would go, well, I took the supplements for only 2 months, and then I stopped, and then I didn't get my test taken for 6 months. Then it could be that, oh, well, maybe you were better, but it got worse again when you stopped the supplements. So it's really, I can't reinforce how important charting is. And I know it gets to be the nemesis of every client, every practitioner, because it is a lot of work, but it's so worth it to just have all this information. So that you can go back.
Yeah, and I mean, I definitely see the benefit of it from the coaching standpoint. So I need to be my own coach and do that for myself so that I can share that completely with you guys if you're going to do a review on that.
Yeah, and when you expect your clients to do that, it makes it easier for you to be able to help them, right?
Right.
We're going to move up to, and I'll leave that to you. So great, fill in your gaps. So what I want to do is look at the labs, and I want to show you guys how to put her labs in. So there's a form for medication. She's not on any. You can put a lifestyle plan in if you want. Sometimes we do that, and sometimes we don't. And then you can print any one of these sheets off for the person. Because I have like
Oh, that's great.
She doesn't want to go in this form. So I work with her when I'm on a call with her. We'll look and see what we're going to change. Like, say we're on the supplement sheet. I'll go back to that one because it's the most likely one you're going to kind of want to print. And I'll go up here, file. I say print, and I can save it to a PDF. So I want to fit it to the width so I don't want things hanging over and going on to sides. Repeat the headers. I'll usually click include page numbers. And then I click print. And then it'll ask me, do I want to print it to... They'll ask me if I want to print it to my printer, or do I want to print it to save it to a PDF. Usually what I do is I print a copy of it and put it in her file, and then I save it as a PDF, and then I email her the PDF. So I just say save as PDF, and then I save it, and it'll ask me the question. But see how it's all filled in, and now you have this for your client, and they have it for themselves.
So can you can actually print single pages of those menu bars that you had at the bottom? Or
cancel. This is, I'm in just the supplement one. So if I go into,
That was just the supplement one. Okay.
That was just the supplement. If I go to lifestyle plan and I say file, print, and I say print, there it gives you a preview. It's just that page. Right? So you can print any one of these pages, and you can give it to them if you're seeing them in person, or you can save it as a PDF and email it to them. So if I say save as a PDF, I say save. It's going to ask me where do I want to save it. And then I give it this file, and I have folders for everybody, and I have one folder for each client, and I put it in their folder. And then I give it to, and then I email it to her, but I also print it out for my printed chart, just in case the computer's not working when I want it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
Oh, I shut it. I didn't mean to do that. Darn. I meant to exit out of the print, and I exit out of the whole thing. So give me a second to get back. Yeah, I got to go back here. And I'm not sharing anymore, I think. So you want to come screen for a minute while I... Oh, I know. Wayne sent it to me in Skype. Let me just find it in Skype. I'm going to align it in the window for you, and then I'll reshare it. All right. Okay, so your window. Okay, so you should see my window again.
Yep, I see it.
Okay, good. Yeah, so any of these pages you can print, so that's really cool. There we go. And any of these at the bottom. So I'm going to go to the lab one. So if you're international, you would go to the international lab sheet and put your funny numbers in, and then convert it. So like a glucose number might be 6.5, and then it'll convert it to 117. Takes a little while because it has to do the math. Okay, and then you've got yours there. But since she's not international, we're going to use the straight old U.S. But for those of you in Canada or England or whatever, you guys all have the same sort of thing. All right, so this is her. I'm confused, so Michelle, I don't know. But there's a whole bunch of dates at the top. Have you ever put anything into this? It has a few numbers here, but I don't know where they're from. Four.
Unless that was something that Lynn entered in. I have never done any entry of lab stuff. But I mean, when I first started working with Lynn in the ERC, like, I think I had gotten some different lab stuff done, so she might have entered that, possibly.
It looks like the only ones that went across here were adrenal. So there was...
Right.
The one, so you also had one back from here. So... Cortisol's been low for a long time, my dear. Back way back when.
Yeah, awesome. And you know what's interesting? I mean, farther back than, like, last year in June?
Yeah, it looks like you had them from the 12-14. And
of 2014? You know what's weird about that is the doctor that I was working with was into more functional medicine, and he never flagged that. He never flagged that I had an adrenal issue.
Wow.
Which it was like, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So let's go. We'll go back to the other. We'll do the labs first. So what I would do, since we have some new dates, so I'm going to pull up her lab, her thyroid that we just looked at, which is here. And we had, I'm going to just pull it over here so you guys don't have to actually see it. But I'm going to look at her numbers, and I'm going to, this date, that this was 129. So what we're going to do is create a new over here. Let's see if we move this over a little bit. We're going to create a new date, which is 1/29/16. And if we put her numbers in, we go down to the thyroid section. There's her thyroid marker section. Okay? So the numbers that she had here were T3 free at, let's see, 3.49. is very good, actually. Now, are you on any thyroid medication? You're not, right?
No, I'm not.
Something's wrong with your sheet. It's not changing color. Got transferrin and vitamin D. So we would go back down to transferrin, which would be in the extras section, additional markers. And we're going to see iron transferrin. And she's a female, so we're going to put in the female list. And that was 297. Now, what's supposed to happen in this chart, oh, there, it must have been a mess, something messed up the top. It changed. It says this is a number that's abnormal. This is should be between 12 and 45, and this might not be the same thing. But sometimes they do transferrin saturation. I'm not going to deal with that right now because I think it's probably a different scale that they're using. But they're saying 182 is normal, and this is different.
Yeah. They're giving like a 192 to 382 as
it is. It's probably they're giving me the iron binding saturation. Here we go. Different labs call it different things, so I'm just going to take that out. She's okay there. Her D is 68, a little lower than we'd like it to be, but I've seen way worse. Let's see.
Well, and that's actually increased because before, like last spring, I think it was like 38 or something like that. Yeah.
In right now.
No.
And now it's 68, so she's done a good job. Now, what you want to ask a client when you've seen a nice jump in their D, like how much were you taking when it got tested at 38, and how much are you taking now that it's at 68? So do you have recollection
of that? I
don't
think I wasn't taking any at when I was tested at 38. And since then, like since last spring, I've been taking like 10,000 units, but I'm not taking that every day. Sometimes I forget.
Mm-hmm.
So
you were taking in January when.
And that's what. Yeah, and I consistently take it probably 4 days a week, but it's
mm-hmm.
a liquid supplement, so it's like. If I eat lunch away from home, like I don't have it in my purse, and that's why I forget to take it.
So a week is great because look what happened. The D you don't have to take every day. But since she's having trouble taking it more consistently, you're not going to say, okay, now I want you to take it 5 days a week. You're going to say instead take 12 drops or 12,000 when you do take it. And that'll be just a little pinch to bring it up probably. And then you can check it again the next time you get it tested. So just increase it. And you got to be realistic about what's going to work for her. Since she already said it's hard to remember to take it every day, she only takes it about 4 days a week, say, great. Instead of taking 10,000, take 12,000. That's what I would say. Make sense? You know, there's ideal and then there's real. So if we're looking at her lab, her antibodies, her antibodies are actually not bad. I don't know if they had been worse for you at some point. Let me see if there's any recorded. The thyroid antibodies. At one point, her thyroid antibodies were 45 and 43, and now they are, hey, ta-da, TPO is 10.5. And the thyroid peroxide, oh, that's the wrong one, 10.5, I put it in the wrong column. And the antithyroglobulin is 22. Okay, so look how much better they got. So she's clearly doing something to support her immune system. Now you can look at that and say, let's just take a little more load off and maybe the leaky gut repair thing that you're going to be doing or the candida thing that you want to look at, some of the blood sugar things. There's other things that you can do to help that. Heavy metal exposures might be an issue. So there's a bunch of stuff which we go through in depth in the thyroid module.
Okay.
If you want to get a head start on that, the Shine tapes from last year, those of you who came to Shine know we did a lot of thyroid work there, you can get some good head starts in there. She has the T4 total, which is 5.4, which is actually quite low. And I'm going to talk about a pattern I'm seeing right here, but before I do, I'm going to put these numbers in. Her reverse T3 was 12.8. You see how much different it is for me to see these on a – I can just scan through and see – I already know what my ranges are. It's programmed in. It's going to show me. And for you guys in a learning experience, look what happens over here. We tell you, well, if it's low, then what's the possibility? Well, you know, this is obvious ones, hypothyroid or iodine deficiency. But on some of the others where it's not specific to that organ, you can get an idea. Well, what does low calcium mean? What does high magnesium mean or chloride mean, et cetera? So use this as a learning tool and put everybody's stuff in it. Then take it and put it into the blood chem software. And the blood chem software will help to, like, do little correlations between them. But this gives you, like, a closer feel for it. Make sense?
I thought my free T4 was 0.6.
Yeah, your free T4 is, you haven't put that one in yet. Where is it? Oh, wait, sorry. Yeah, your free T4 was 0.6 on the other page. We haven't gotten there. 0.6. I'll put that in. There you go.
Okay.
So the free T4 is low, but the T3 is good, which says to me that even though the T3 is where we want it to be, there's what's called an overconversion. Very uncommon. We usually see underconversion, right? So some of the things that can cause an overconversion are oftentimes imbalances in the sex hormones, in particular excess testosterone. So I don't know if you've had that tested or not, but we'll look through here to see if you have it here. But testosterone can be something, excess testosterone can be, in relationship to the estrogen, can be a problem in this. It causes a conversion, which may not be a problem here because you've got good thyroid function, but it could be a problem because of what it does in the female-male hormone system. Have you had any extensive hormone testing? I know you did the BioHealth. Have you had any other hormone testing besides that to look at the metabolites?
No, I mean,
test or the meridian balance.
You mean
test?
With like the metabolites from like the Dutch test or whatever? That kind of a test, you mean? All I've done is like the BioHealth through you the last couple of times, and then I think I had my female hormones tested through my doctor, but I don't recall them testing my testosterone unless it was something they automatically did on that test.
Do you get a copy of all your labs from you? Do you have copies?
I do.
Great. Mm-hmm. So spend yourself an hour going through and familiarizing yourself with this spreadsheet and add all your old labs to it. It'll help you to see patterns. So it's really great to go back and see patterns.
Okay.
It makes a whole difference. And it helps you when you're working with a client to be able to see patterns. Okay,
well,
so that
I'm not constantly having to flip through all these papers.
Exactly. And you have to look at one
paper,
which is why I'm telling you, when you guys submit me labs, if you submit me 20 pages and I'm going to flip through it, I'm not going to remember from place to place. But if I see it all tabulated nicely like this, this is why I created this, because it was a pain for me. Okay.
So when we actually, like, submit the labs with the case study, how do we submit this so that you can see it too, or do we just, is there a link that we send you, or?
Thing you can do it.
Like,
in another
we
place.
Save this as a PDF, and then we upload the PDF in with the case study download.
Or you can, there's two ways to do it. If you have it as an Excel sheet on your computer, you can upload the Excel sheet. Or what you can do is, if you have it on a Google Doc, you can just give me that link as part of, when you filled out that form, it said any additional information. Oh, yeah, here's the Google Doc. Yep.
Okay.
I prefer even the PDFs, because then I have to flip through and I don't have the full thing, and I can't edit it if you've made a transposition error. I can catch your transposition errors in 30 seconds because I'll look and go, that's not right. That number was not in right. You may not know that. It just shows up that it's orange because you don't have as much experience with it to say, oh, you typed that number in wrong. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yep.
Yeah, so I got up here her CBC, complete blood count, and I think that's everything in there. So what I'm going to do is pull that off to the side, and I'm going to share this screen back over here. So, and I'm going to just transpose these numbers. And this is cool stuff, too, because if you've been following somebody, right, and they have, here we go, here's the CBC, so the CBC markers, complete blood count markers. And again, all of this is in the lab analysis module. And so we're going through the module sequentially, and when you get to the lab analysis module, you'll be able to, like, really learn what all this stuff is. And it's awesome stuff. So the CBC, complete blood count, you can find anemia, and you can find infection here. So we look at what's her white blood cell count. Her white blood cell count is 5.1. But here's the thing, like if you're watching somebody and they suddenly, you know, you see, oh, my God, your white blood cell count is 3. It's really low. And you have them give you all the other labs and you put those in and you see that it was good, it was good, it was good, it was a sudden drop. You want to do another follow-up. And if it's still low, then you want to make sure that they get checked out because there could be something seriously wrong, like a bone marrow issue. Okay, so it's really important to keep track of these things. And if you see a pattern of gradually getting lower and lower, like it might be good, it's good, it's good, but it's lower and lower, before it goes into the abnormal range, you want to flag it and say, hey, look at this, your liver, like if it's a liver enzyme that's going higher and higher. Your liver enzyme was, you know, was a 10 here, and now it's a 12, and now it's an 18, now it's a 24, and the upper limit is 25. You don't want to wait until it's 27 to see that this person has a problem. Which is why I love having this spreadsheet, because it helps me to see patterns.
Right. That totally makes sense. Now, I was anemic in the past, I mean, for a lot of years. And the nurse practitioner that ordered these labs for me, she kind of went over them with me on the phone, but she said that I'm not anemic anymore, so...
I'm going to look at this to see what I think.
Yeah.
Didn't do RDW. Yeah. So there's one marker that you really want, and I'll show it to you on this sheet, you really want to look at. So your hemoglobin is a little high, 14.6. Where are you? Hemoglobin. Now, a lot of times the doctors will look at a lab and say, oh, it's fine. And you're going to learn how to look at it and say, no, it's not. I remember when one of our participants, Rita Brown, she's a nurse and she works in the oncology unit. When she first went through the blood chemistry module, she was, like, floored at how many mistakes were being made on her patients in the unit, that people were just being overlooked for things that she could now see were problematic. So that's the... you're going to be able to see, like, well, the doctor told me that was normal, but, you know, according to this, that could be an indication of a B12 deficiency. Right? So we put in your numbers, and you're 14 point female, right? Female, 14.6. But generally, we don't see numbers that are high, but when we see a combination of red blood cells that are slightly high and hemoglobin that's slightly high, not abnormally high, like, you know, if her red blood cells were 6 or her hemoglobin was 16, then we'd start to think something like, not hemochromatosis, that's high iron, but thrombocytosis. No. Oh. Not thrombocytopenia is too small. Thank you. Come up with the number. Maybe it's drawing a blank. Lynn, come out with it. Red blood cells, there's too many red blood cells. And it causes a thickening and can be a problem if it's too much. But sometimes when it's just borderline like this, I would say to you, you're probably not drinking enough water or you're not absorbing enough water. And there's two different, right? Somebody could say, well, I'm drinking a quart, you know, two quarts of water every day, and it's half my body weight in fluid ounces. May not be enough for them, and they may not be having good water that's getting into their cells. So there's a number of things. So you might be slightly dehydrated here. Your MCG is 91.7. Interesting. They are now They have a new range for hemoglobin. Oh, wow, I'm so excited to see this lab. I'll tell you what I'm looking at in a minute. MCV, 91.7. Now, the labs used to allow it to go up to 99. And this is an indication when that's high of either a B12 or a folate, most likely a B12 or a folate deficiency. Now, mine hasn't even been updated. I've updated on the more recent one to 89.
91.7.
Okay. So 91.7. But maybe, and you have an MTHFR thing, you might have some other ones of those SNPs, so B12 may not be getting absorbed. Possibly.
Okay.
And then the rest of this is looking decent. I don't want to put every number in because we'll be here all night. But I would.
She had said something about. She asked me. I don't know what she was looking at because when she called me to go over these labs and I was driving, so I didn't have the lab in front of me, so I was just kind of making mental notes of what she had said, and she said that something was higher. That indicated, she's like, are you a smoker? And I'm like, no. And she's like, are you exposed to secondhand smoke? And I'm like, no, not really. I mean, my husband smokes, but he doesn't smoke in our home. So, I mean, if I'm exposed to secondhand smoke, it's like me smelling it on him, perhaps, but it's not like.
Oh, well, that can be,
Yeah, I don't know, but she said it looks like, she's like, it has something to do, like, maybe with allergies or something.
Allergies.
And I said, food allergies or environmental things? Or
yes.
I said, I'm really sensitive to chemicals, but.
I'm going to show you what's called the CBC differential. And what you've got here is you've got, these are your white blood cells, the normal number you have. It's whatever it was, 5.1, perfectly normal number, but it's a ratio of the types of white blood cells, and you'll study it when you do this module. But the lymphocytes, I put it in the wrong place, 6.2. Yeah, one there. It gives you the percentages. So it's saying 60% of your white blood cells are neutrophils, 25 are lymphocytes, 9 are monocytes, 5.2 are eosinophils, and 0.6 was basophil. Basophil is 0.6. Perfectly normal. Yeah. So the ones that are not normal, that are out of color, eosinophils are 5.2. They should be between 0 and 3. Those are white blood cells that get elevated when there's an allergy response going on. Sometimes parasites, but most often allergy. So you've got a 5.2 there. So that's what she might have been asking you about, potential allergens in your environment, okay, or in your food. Monocytes, as a 9, monocytes are either a recently recovered from problems, like you've had a flu and you're just getting over it, or a cold, and it's a 9 is higher than it should be. I like to see it closer to, like, you know, 4 or 5. Or it's sometimes a chronic thing, and it's sometimes high in autoimmune disease, but it can also be related to some kind of chronic infectious type thing, like a gut bug, you know, a bacteria that's overgrown in your gut, candida that's overgrown in your gut, etc. So those are the places I would look. Your neutrophils are slightly high, just barely outside the optimal range. When the neutrophils are high, it would indicate more of a bacterial kind of an infection. So it's possible that you've got an overgrowth of bad gut bugs that is causing this, and come to Steph and I's call. Is it tomorrow? I think it's tomorrow that we're doing. We're going to do a call on probiotics and gut bugs. So Steph is brilliant when it comes to that. So join us for that. We'll send out an email tomorrow about it. Okay.
Well, I'm planning on being on that call, and I'm also I'll be taking her practitioner program too, so that'll be great too.
Yes. Exactly. Okay. So you get the idea. So when you guys submit these forms for us, when you submit a case, if you've got this all filled out, I'm just going to go in here and quickly fill it out. But I thought this was a good opportunity, because it wasn't, to show you how to go ahead and do this and the value of doing it. Like, I love these things, and people like Steph and Tony and Lynn, who've been here for a while, they use these all the time and they love it. Okay?
So
that
would...
Awesome.
I have a question. So when I go to, like, the... Once I get to the lab analysis module, will it tell me, like, what all these abbreviations on the lab chart thing that they gave me, so I know, like, what is which thing to input this chart?
It tells you in this chart, look, it says, here it says RBC, red blood cell, RBC.
Okay.
Yeah, all here.
Don't
yeah.
See that on your page, but okay. I'll just get in there and look at that more closely then.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. You got a very incomplete lab, and I don't see any complete labs. Maybe you have them in the past, but look, there's nothing at the top. They didn't test your glucose, your hemoglobin A1C, your kidney function, or anything. Very common.
Okay.
When you have tests done through practitioners that are not more integrative. I love this because it gives you a starting point glimpse. We can look at things like alkaline phosphatase. Low alkaline phosphatase can be an indication of low zinc, right? Low, where are they? SGOT, AST, ALT, which are liver enzymes. Low can mean a deficiency of B6. So there's all these really cool things that you'll figure out, and you can read about them over here. And also, you can go to the Blood Chem software, which I'll take you to, BLOOD, Blood.
So if I were to go to my practitioner and say I want a complete blood workup, would they do all of those things, or do I have to specifically know which ones I want?
Generally, you
have to request.
Chemistry, you want the liver, you want the kidney, you want the glucose, you want the electrolytes. The best way to know that is to go to, and you probably still have access to the ERC. You do have access to the ERC site. If you go to the ERC site where the evaluations are, we have a page in there that tells you if you want to take this to your doctor to do, go to this page on Direct Labs and print it off, and it'll tell them exactly what you want. And then, but what you'll learn in the lab chemistry piece is that there's some additional things that you may want to get for somebody who you're suspicious of blood chemistry or blood sugar. You want to get a hemoglobin A1C. If they have an MTHFR and you're suspicious about cardiovascular risk, you may want to get a homocysteine. So we go through all of that in the blood chem. So I'm just going to log
okay.
into my show you. I don't know if you're in here already. I'm going to just pause this a second so I'm not sharing my screen with people's names once I do this. You just pause it because it's a privacy thing. Let me just see if you're in here. Patients, view patients. Here we go. It's possible that some of those got put in here. Anderson. No, no. So I'm just going to pull one up who I know I can pull up without. No, I'm not going to pull one up. I'm just going to say new to show you how to use the software real quick. And then you guys have access to this. They said they're giving it to you guys as long as you're in the program, and if you decide you still want to use the software afterwards, you have to pay their monthly fee. And it's a great opportunity for you to learn and just show you how. So if I go to dashboard and I go, I don't want to show you, I want to show you my patient, so I'm going to go in there. And I go new patient. I'm going to add you here, Michelle Anderson. Did I spell your name right? Is it one L or two?
No, it's one L.
Yes, there's a lot of them that are two and a lot of them that are one, and there you go. Date of birth, what is it?
10/6/1965.
10/6/1965. Yeah, there you go. And practitioner, so I say save. So that's all you have to do. And like I said, you guys have access to this. And if you don't know how, please do come to one of the orientation meetings and ask. Change the interface in here. It's a little bit different. Okay, so we're going to do add your stuff. So we're going to say add new lab test. And I'm not going to put all this in because it'd take forever, but I'm going to let you put it in on your own, in your own version.
129, 2016. That would be the test date, right, that my last labs got done?
Just going to use, yeah, so conventional U.S. Now, if you're in Canada or if you're in Europe, you choose standard international, and it will give you, put the numbers in your mode. So I say save and enter lab test results. Okay. It gives you videos, how to add a lab test, how to schedule one, how to edit one, how to create your own report notes. This is an amazing piece of software. But in addition, so I just would put your numbers in here, and let's just throw a couple of numbers in.
So since you save this, I could go back and, like, enter.
No, you'll have to enter it yourself because you don't have access to mine.
Okay.
Mine has access to my own
part. Oh, okay.
You'll have
so
access.
I would actually set up, do I need to set up sort of like an account?
Have an account that's already been set up for you. And Lynn,
okay, so I just go in and enter mine.
Yeah, and usually they set it up with the same user ID and password as when you can give them more instructions. She talks about it on the call. Lynn, you want to type into the chat how they do that? Yeah, so you guys didn't get access, Lynn. Maybe we need to follow up with that. They were supposed to get an email from the company. Usually what they've been doing is setting it up from your user ID and password from the site, so it's the same one. So,
I didn't receive any kind of email from them, I guess.
Okay, in the meantime, you can get in using the general endocrinology, so blood temp software. Okay, let me go. Here we go. It's, they set up a general account for our whole school. This way, the other way that you have to use, you can get in using this for now, and your number will be shared. Let's see. I'll put this in the chat. And caps lock. I'm trying to see it. Okay, so this is very easy. The username is endocrinology, and then the password is NEPC2014. So endocrinology. Endocrinology. In my thing, and NEPT2014, and the URL you're going to go to is, I think it's just, yeah, my.bloodsoftware, let's see, my.bloodchemsoftware.com. Okay, and if you don't have your personal one, you can start by using that one, and then Lynn will check up to find out what was going on. So this was 2.1 or something. I'm just showing you what happened. You create these, you put all these numbers in, and then it generates all kinds of reports. So rather than put it all in, because it's going to take up too much time, I'm just going to come back and show you someone else a different report. I'll show you mine or Lynn's. Lynn, is it okay if I share yours? It's okay if I share yours with them so I can just show you a report, or yes, okay. So I'm going to put it on pause again so you don't see all my other ones. Share window. There, and then I'm going to go to patients, view patients. Are you in mine or are you in yours? I think you might be in yours. Yeah, I'm going to look to see if there's somebody in here that I could share that there's a test one. I don't know. Mine is old. Is that December 12th, 2012? Did I actually put mine in back then? I can see if there's anybody here that I could share without them. Is anybody on the call? Is that maybe... Yeah, you must be in your own. I'd have to log in as you, Lynn. I think if I log in on the endocrinology one, it might work. So if I go to mybloodcomesoftware.com, I'm going to do log out, I guess. Endocrinology, and what did we say? NEPT2014. I think that they're all shared. NEPT2014. Okay, so see who shows up here, new patients. I think that this is a shared pool. So Lynn should be in here. CD. Okay, here we go, Lynn. Okay, so this is what you'll see once you put it in. She has just one lab test. You can put any number of them in here, and you'll get comparative kinds of things, a comparative chart. But this is, it gives a functional index of the things that she's got some issues with. They're saying her acid alkaline balance, her immune system is way off. The higher this is, the more the problematic it is. Adrenal function is off. These are just based on algorithms that are built into the program. It also gives you, oh, she's got some vitamin and mineral issues, a little bit of protein and carbohydrate. But look, dysglycemia, so all her markers. Yeah, and that's basically, I think, you can see what markers they use. So if you click on it, it tells you dysglycemia, what they mean by it, what the signs and symptoms were, what the diagnosis is, what causes it, what other diseases, and what are some of the symptoms. So this is really cool learning tool that you can go through. If you go through and click on, like, vitamin index, why do they say she has a problem with vitamin index? Not available, not quite there yet. So this gives you their overall summary. But what you want to really do is look at some of the reports. So you click on Generate Reports. And there's all these different reports that you can create. A lot more on the practitioner side than on the patient side. The blood test history would give you charts of everything that's been gone on and how things have changed over time. It's a little bit more sophisticated than my little simple spreadsheet. But if you wanted to see all the practitioner reports, you'd say select all, generate report, and it produces like a 40-page report. Patient report's shorter. It's usually like 20. But it's an awesome thing that you can actually charge people to do. You can charge them to generate their report, and it gives them a lot of great information. So this says it looks like she has early signs of metabolic syndrome because she has an increased glucose, an increased triglyceride, an increased total cholesterol, and an increased LDL cholesterol. And this is all increased not over the lab pathology ranges, but over optimal ranges. So this gives you an idea, a summary of the things that might be going on. Lymphocytes are high, monocytes are high, possibly viral infection. Then it goes through suggested nutrients. It tells you why they think she needs zinc. Well, her alkaline phos was low. Why they think she needs B vitamins. Well, she had an anion gap high, a glucose high, hemoglobin low, hematocrit low. B12 folate, it tells you why. So you can go through this and learn a tremendous amount. Then it shows you her report, and you can see where she was outside of the optimal range. So the red is above the range, the yellow is below the range. If there's two arrows, it means it's very much above it, and if there's two arrows going down, it's very much below it. So she's not optimal. It doesn't mean she's diseased. It means that she has work to do to make herself optimal. Okay? So this is the deviation from optimal. And this explains everything that's above and everything that's below. So this is a great way for you to learn every time you do a report. So I highly recommend you use this and generate these for your clients and for you. Now, you could wait until after you do our blood chemistry module, or you can just start doing these and learning a little bit at a time. And then they give you these functional indexes, and they'll tell you about what those mean. Then they give you all the descriptions. So it's a lot of, this is just the paid practitioner report. The other ones aren't as big. So she's got some issues with vitamins, but then it breaks it down to specific vitamins. Top one was B6, then zinc, then thiamine, then B12, iron, so all the way down, and you can get an idea and really rationalize what, where these are going. So, if Michelle, if you go get this full blood test, right, you can plug it in here, and you'll be able to get all this great information about yourself. And there's some of the health concerns based on the labs, and then it explains it all. Then this would be the chart where you'd have like four or five of them in a row, and you can compare them. And then further recommended testing, right? If there's a zinc deficiency, maybe she should get a zinc test or zinc tally test or something like that. What to look for when values are out of range. So they're giving you an idea of what kind of things might be going on. This is an amazing piece of software. It's an amazing piece of software. So, and you have access to it. It's basically the cost for me to do this. I pay $67 a month, and I got in on the early adopters. It's usually $97 a month. And you're getting it for free just by being in the program. So that alone is, like, you know, worth a good part of your tuition. Okay, so I think we're going to stop here, Michelle. We don't have any resolutions for you, but what we've done is given you a process for looking at what's going on, and we've given you some next steps, which would be to get a full blood chemistry done, make sure that it includes hemoglobin A1C and homocysteine, and then plug them into both the spreadsheet and this report. And then when you get all that done, you can bring them back to one of our calls. And you don't have to, it doesn't have to be a case study call because we did this whole big, long case study. It could just be any call that you want to bring a lab to. So any of our calls we do, you can bring a lab to and have me go over, with the exception of the content calls. I usually don't go over labs in those. So what I want to do is see if there's anybody that has questions. I know we've been going on for a really long time, and most of you probably want to go to sleep. It's like, wow, especially you guys on the East Coast. But you hung in there, and we still have a bunch of folks there. You're not seeing my screen throughout all that?
No, I thought you weren't sharing it because you couldn't.
No, I was telling you all this great stuff. Oh, my God. So this is the report, and I would highly recommend that you put some stuff in and go through it. And
okay.
You've got the blood chemistry stuff. You've got these I'm just going to go back through it again because you guys didn't see it. I'll go through it really quickly. The stuff that's important is, like, it gives you the out-of-optimal range. It tells you all the description of everything that's out of range. It gives you functional index report, like there are indications of her immune system. Anything like this is clickable, so you can see where they're getting that information from. Some of this information's not all there. Some of it is. So they're still working on this tremendous database, so it's an amazing learning tool. And then vitamin mineral index, and then it gives you the indication of which nutrients might be out of balance. It's a nice chart. So it really gives you a great starting point when you're working with somebody. Do you want to rely solely on something like this? Of course not. Do you want to use this as a guideline to help shorten your analysis? Absolutely. So you're going to want to learn all the things I teach you in the blood chemistry module, so you'll understand what the heck is, you know, eosinophil mean and how does that differ from a monocyte. And you're going to really appreciate the work that it takes, the time that it saves to have both my spreadsheet and this.
Yeah,
so,
for sure. I already appreciate that.
Yeah, look at that.
But I'm sure that that'll even be deeper once I actually plug those numbers in and be able to, like, print
it makes it your numbers. It makes it really real when you do it with your own numbers. And then if you do it with yourself, then you'll be... Questions, comments, anybody have any questions? I know we've gone on for a long time, and many of you have stayed till the end, so that's great. Maria has a question about, is absorption of vitamin D highly impacted by a person with potential gut lining issues? Yeah, D is impacted by a lot of things. Gut lining is one of them. Age is another one. Color of the skin is another. Exposure to the sun, obviously. But, yeah, so many things will, anything, bile, and, you know, liver, gallbladder, because it's a fat-soluble vitamin, absolutely. Yeah, so sorry about that. I wasn't sharing that screen, and there was no way to get, you guys tried to get through to me, but I was so hot on looking at it.
Well, and I think you were, you had said something about you didn't know if you could do that, so you were just going to talk about it, so I just assumed that you weren't going to share that on the screen because there was too much personal information or something.
Share my list of patients, because I had two pages of people that, you know, people that you might know, and I don't want you to see that, you know, it's a breach of privacy. So I shut it off when I showed that, but then I said I was open at Blinn's. But anyway,
I have a question if you, not necessarily about my case study, if you're open to, I don't know if you finished the answer to whatever you were, whoever
was
asked the other question.
About vitamin D, and she said basically the person is taking vitamin D, but yeah, if they have a leaky gut or if they have poor liver function or bile function, they're going to have a problem. She's saying it's around 75, but low in B12. Wonder how long she should keep taking the 5K I use. Let me just talk briefly about this, because this is an important question, because people ask all the time, I don't know how long to take my supplements. You take your supplements until the problem is corrected. So with D, you look and say, well, what's their number now? And then you pick the number that you're going to give them. You can use some of my guidelines. You can use nutrition. You can do a pendulum, however you want to figure out what you're going to give them. But you're going to give it to them and then go back and check. So if their number is like 45, and then you give them 10,000 IUs of vitamin D, and you go back in 3 months, and their number is 55, it's moved up, but not very much in 3 months. So then you might want to increase it or stay the same, but you want to test it again. So if you've gotten them up to 75, yeah, it'd be nice if they were a little bit higher than that. And she's taking 5K to keep it there. You can either keep her at 5K and retest in 2 to 3 months to see if it's staying at 75. If it's going down, then you know you have to increase it. If it's gone up a little bit to 85, that's good. But maybe continue with the 5K a little bit longer, and then you go back and test it. So the best way to know with vitamin D is to just keep testing. So, Michelle?
I have one question about the vitamin D and then another one about one of the tests that you recommended for my CMDS case study. When I talked to my practitioner that ordered these tests, she indicated that, like, the vitamin D levels, like, I wouldn't want to go much higher than where I was at because there's some new study out that is showing that, and I don't even remember what she said, something about higher levels are correlated to something else. I'm going to have to find out from her.
Find out and find out if somebody has a patient like that, you ask them for a link to their study.
Okay, I will do that.
Status quo for the last decade or so is that you want it between 75 and 100, ideally, and then that lowers the risk of cancers and autoimmune disease. So if there's some future evidence, you always have to look at who did the study, what was the motivation behind it, and yeah, it might be a valid study that we need to be concerned about.
Okay. I will check on that. And then the other question that I had was the client that you did the case study presentation on when we did that CMDS virtual day, you had recommended that she do like the OAT test and then the doctor's data, like comprehensive parasitology times 3 test. And when I went on the VLM site, like that particular doctor's data test is not listed there. And I chatted with Lynn about that, and she said that I may have to go on the doctor's data site.
I asked our people to put that up about a month and a half ago because I realized it wasn't there. So, Lynn, if you can spot that, I asked about that, and I asked him to tell Jimmy to put it up. Jimmy's our web guy, to put it up there. And
So it'll be one that she'll be able to order through the VLM site as soon as you get it put up then.
Hey, she might even be able to order it from Direct Labs if you look on Direct Labs. Doctor's data will not accept they won't accept her being able to order it herself.
Right. And if she does it through Direct Labs, that's like a stool test, so she doesn't have to go anywhere to give blood or have some special person take anything from her, right?
No. They will just, it'll get the kit and she has to poop in it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So she can do it through Doctor's Data or Direct Labs. And if I have her do it through the Direct Labs, is it called the same thing?
Let me clarify that, Michelle. Direct Labs does not offer the test. In Direct Labs, they have some functional tests, and one of them is the Direct Doctor's Data. So she'd have to look it up under the exact same name, Doctor's Data. She can't order it in Direct Labs. Direct Labs will not allow her to order it unless she's a practitioner.
Right. Can she access that? I mean, would that be accessible through Direct Labs on your VLM site as a doctor's data test? I mean,
you go to the VLM site and you click on Direct Labs. You'll go to the Direct Labs site and then you would say order test. You know, they give you an option of choosing a provider, or you just type in the name of the test in file. And if you have trouble with that, call them up and ask them, because they know they do some doctor's data tests.
Okay.
I'll show you. Can you see my screen?
Uh-huh.
DirectLabs.com. You go to order tests. I can see if there's a doctor's data. If they list them by doctor's data, they might. Dr. Rita Marie, Dutch. Oh, they have the Dutch here. Wow. Oh, I'm going to type in stool test. Maybe it's under comprehensive. You know, there's sometimes a little bit of looking around to see. Comprehensive, CDSA, comprehensive stool. So Genova has it. I don't like theirs as much. Comprehensive stool parasite. Here, doctor's data. Here it is. Comprehensive analysis with parasitology X3, doctor's data kit. Okay. I'll put it in the chat.
94, okay.
Okay.
Okay. So she would be able to go to Direct Labs and order it that way.
Yep.
Okay. I will have her do that. And then they would send her the results of that, and then we could upload it. They're not going to send that to you. She doesn't have to be connected to a practitioner to order that herself.
Nope. She'll get it all handled herself, and then she could talk to you about it. Yeah.
Okay. That's what I'll have her do, because I went over that stuff with her after we talked, and she's ready to do that testing. So I'm excited that she's ready to move forward with that to, you know, kind
Very
of figure
exciting.
Out what's going on. She's ready to do those two tests because that's what you recommended.
Super.
All right.
So there's no other
question.
Guys, thank you for being here and staying so long. I didn't expect this to be 2 hours long, but I felt like it was a really good opportunity to show you how to put some stuff in. No questions. Tony, Valerie, Maria, Michelle, you're on here already. Lynn, any questions or comments? You know, Vanessa's on the web. Is on the web. Who else is on the web? Let's see. Patty was on the web. I think she left. Hi. Fantastic, everybody. I'll open your lines. We could say goodbye to each other. And I will talk to you soon. Bye, everyone.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye.